a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
South Dakota House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today will be Pastor Mercy Hobbs from the Pier 4 Pier Ministerial Association. Leading our pledge today will be Pages Melissa Hessman from Wakanda and Sandra Yoon from Brandon.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this gathering of elected leaders, staff, and pages. We ask you that in the days to come when these decisions need to be made by those elected, that you give them the vision and the courage to help those that they represent and serve. Help them to make choices that eliminate poverty, prejudice, and oppression, that peace may prevail with righteousness and justice with order, that the people they represent, who may be from different cultures and talents, may find fulfillment of their humanity. Encourage these elected officials to know where and when to stand and what to stand for, because unless they stand for something, they shall fall for anything. All these prayers we lift up to you in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk will please call the roll.
Abdallah, Blake, Boland, Boomgarten, Bruner, Carson, Consett, Cronin, Dielstra, Dennard, Dryden, Elliott, Fargent, Fikert, Feinstein, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hager, Hansen, Hawley, Hickey, Hoffman, Hubble, Hunhoff, Hunt, Ironclaw, Jensen, Jones, Killer, Kirkaby, Kirschman, Klochek, Kopp, Liss, Lucas, Lust, Magstead, Miller, Mosier, Munsterman, Nelson, Nordstrup, Olson, Perry, Romkema, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Schimp, Scott, Sigdestad, Sly, Solem, Steele, Street, Stricker, Stornell, Tolson, Turberville, Van Gerpen, Vanneman, Banner, Vershio, White, Wick, Willitson, Wink, Wismer, and Speaker Roush.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the ninth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bell Roush, Chair.
All those in favor of approval of the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Approval is adjourned. Do we have any special guests here today? Representative Fargent, I'm so glad you're special today. I have a note here. Is there a former Representative Stephanie Uhr? U-H-E-R? Oh, the technical intern. We have a... Yes, sorry. If we would at this time, we've had our computer interns here since the start of session. They've been helping us to make sure our computers are up and going and we've been able to communicate with everyone. We would have a special commemoration for her. Representative Sly.
Can you see me? I can see a few of you. I have a certificate of appreciation. Oh, wow. Hey. I have a certificate of appreciation to present to Stephanie, and I had to ask her how to pronounce her name. It looks like you, her, to me, because I'm a teacher, U-H-E-R, but she's told me it was U-H-E-R. Is that right? All right. In recognition of the outstanding service given to the 2012 South Dakota Legislature as House Legislative Computer Intern. And I know that all of us have appreciation for those computer techs that help us, because some of us definitely have had some issues with our computers this year. So, Stephanie?
I didn't ask her, but typically they are from Dakota State University, and my son has had the privilege of being part of that group too as computer interns, and it's a great program, and we're glad they're able and willing to offer their assistance to all of us not so tech savvy representatives.
You want to do it, or you let him do it?
We just had a bunch of school kids come in. On behalf of Representative Killer and Iron Cloud, we'd like to welcome the Martin Grade School, fourth grade. Carol Rice, Mark Anderson, Bob Toxic, Tanya Kosmicki, Tanya Ireland, Kara Exeller, Wade Rissi are the advisors that are with them, I believe, or teachers. If you guys would all stand, welcome. And I do apologize, I'm sure I butchered just about all those names. Any other guests? Hearing none, reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bill 1018, 1036, and 1037 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Charles Hoffman, Vice Chair. The Committee on Appropriations respectfully reports that House Bill 1040, 1042, and 1043 and 1045 do pass, and House Bill 1041 do pass as amended. Dean Wing, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that House Bill 1026 and 1027 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. House Bill 1171 do pass as amended, and House Bill 1177 do pass amended and be placed on the consent calendar. Jamie Boudgarden, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that House Bill 1170 do pass, House Bill 1154 do pass as amended, and House Bill 1104 be deferred to the 41st legislative day. David Norstrup, Vice Chair. The Committee on Taxation respectfully reports that House Bill 1075 and 1078 do pass, Senate Bill 18 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bill 1101 and 1180 be deferred to the 41st legislative day. Mark K. Willardson, Chair. And the Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bill 1057, 1077, 1094 do pass, and House Bill 1076 and 1088 do pass, amended, and be placed on the consent calendar. Mark Kirkaby, Chair.
They had a busy day. Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bill 15, 16, 17, 20, 30, 39, 41, and 43, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Fee Jacobson, Secretary.
Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Luss moves that the report of the Standing Committee on Education on House Bill 1005, as found on pages 207 and 208 of the House Journal, be adopted.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen of the audience and you young kids up here and those listening at home, right now we're going to have what we call first reading of House bills. It is required by our Constitution that these titles be read in open forum, so our staff up here will be reading over the top of one another as they read all these titles. You, however, at your leisure can go online and look at the bills in their entirety. So we will have first reading of House bills.
House Bill 1258, an act to clarify certain statutes prohibiting political subdivisions from restricting firearms. House Bill 1256, an act to repeal the contractor's excise tax. House Bill 1246, an act to prohibit the use of bisphenol A in certain products. House Bill 1259, an act to provide an exception to vaccination requirements for personal beliefs. House Bill 1260, an act to repeal the authority of the director of the Division of Insurance has to promulgate rules governing use of genetic information and to enact certain provisions regarding the use of genetic information. House Bill 1263, an act to provide for mandatory HIV testing for any person convicted of prostitution or solicitation of prostitution and to provide for appropriate utilization of the test results. House Bill 1268, an act to require certain persons applying or receiving certain Medicaid financial aid or assistance from the state to submit to drug tests to check for use of controlled substances. House Bill 1245, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the suspension of a driver's license for certain alcoholic beverage violations. House Bill 1272, an act to allow the sale of health benefit plans approved in selected other states to be sold in South Dakota and to grant the director authority to pursue a multi-state consortium to grant automatic reciprocity for the sale of health benefit plans approved by the participating consortium state.
I don't remember hearing 1250. Was that in there? Oh, sorry. Speaker refers House Bill 1242 to Appropriations, 1243 to Local Government, 1244 Appropriations, 1245 to Commerce, 1246 to Health, 1247, 48, and 49 to Judiciary, 1250 to Local Government, 51 to Judiciary, 52 to Ag and Natural Resources, 53, 4, and 5 to Judiciary, 56 to Tax, 57 to Transportation, 58 to Tax, 59 and 60 to Health, 1261 to State Affairs, 1262 to Ag, 1263 to Health, 1264 Judiciary, 1265 State Affairs, 1266 and 67 to Judiciary, 1268 to Health, 1269 and 70 to Appropriations, 1271 to State Affairs, 1272 Commerce, 1273 Judiciary, 1274 to Transportation, HJR 1008 to State Affairs, HJR 1009, HJR 1010 State Affairs. We'll now go through the same process with the Senate bills. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 17, an act to require certain fuel tax returns and reports to be filed by electronic means and to require certain fuel taxes to be remitted by electronic transfer. Senate Bill 20, an act to allow returns and return information to be disclosed to officers, employees, and legal representatives at the Office of the Attorney General and other state agencies and departments. Senate Bill 30, an act to allow for the development of an alternative benefit enhancement methodology within the South Dakota retirement system.
Speaker refers Senate Bill 15 to Health, 16 and 17 to Transportation, Senate Bill 20 to Tax, Senate Bill 30 to Retirement Laws, Senate Bill 39, 41, and 43 to Judiciary. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to go to the part of the calendar. We call it our consent calendar. These are bills that have gone through the committee process without any opposition. And as a speed-up measure, the committee has suggested that we just pass it on and move it to the other house or pass it in final form because it's usually cleanup language or of that sort. Any member here can pull it off if they'd like to debate it, and at this time they would certainly be able to ask any questions. Second reading of consent calendar.
House Bill 1071, an act to increase the benefits that the Insurance Guarantee Association may become obligated to cover for annuities. House Bill 1097, an act to revise certain provisions regulating the investment of unneeded state operating expenses in banks. Senate Bill 12, an act to codify the legislation enacted in 2011.
Consent calendar items having had their second reading are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Hearing none, the question before the House is final consideration of the consent items. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Blake, Consett, and Magstead. Representative Magstead. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 67 yeas.
Consent items having received majority vote of members elect are hereby declared passed. Any questions on any of the titles? Titles deemed correct. We'll now enter into our debate portion of the calendar. Second reading of House bills.
Representative Torno moves that House Bill 1046 be placed to follow House Bill 1119 on today's calendar.
All those in favor of the Torno motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. So moved.
House Bill 1009 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1009, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. Please join me in supporting House Bill 1009. This came out of the governor's red tape review, and these statutes were found to be old and archaic. The first sections of this bill pertain to poison licenses. People don't sell poison anymore. Farmers used to lace oats with poison. They also used to sell highly toxic chemicals for killing rats. However, over the past few decades, a transition has occurred where we now use more environmentally safe and biodegradable products for the same purposes. So the licensing of poison is no longer necessary. The second group of sections deal with a non-prescription drug licensing. This changes a law that is not typically enforced anymore and would actually find numerous retail establishments out of compliance. Since the creation of this law, we have instead required proper labeling and childproof safety containers for non-prescription drugs. So, by passing this legislation, we are no longer requiring these two types of license, which also mean we no longer are collecting the fees, which amount to about $20,000. The Board of Pharmacy no longer would require, need, or want that. This bill did come to the Health and Human Services Committee, and it passed 13-0. Please join me in voting yes.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House is final consideration of House Bill 1009. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Abdallah and Blake.
Abdallah votes aye.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 67 yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1009, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Torno votes aye.
Okay. There were 67 ayes then.
House Bill 1009, having received all the votes of the members present, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, titles deemed correct.
House Bill 1055, an act to allow for joint physical custody orders after a court awards joint legal custody if in the best interest of the child.
House Bill 1055, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1055 is a shared parenting bill that addresses concerns raised by proponents of a shared parenting bill in the past. 1055 does a number of things. There have been claims that some judges don't believe they have the authority to split custody 50-50. House Bill 1055 clearly provides that discretion to the judges. There have also been concerns raised in the past that if a parent is unsuccessful in getting a judge to provide custody 50-50, then all the losing parent gets is the visitation guidelines. House Bill 1055 clearly states that judges, even if they do not award custody 50-50, the judge has the discretion to award custody on different percentages such as 55-45, 60-40, two-thirds, one-third, etc. There have been claims that if one parent objects, the judge can't order 50-50 custody. House Bill 1055 clearly states that the judge can order 50-50 or whatever appropriate percentage is, even over the objection of the other parent. Finally, House Bill 1055 states affirmatively that the best interest of the child control whatever percentage the judge is going to order, which keeps in place decades of common law that we have on the books today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks, Representative Tornholt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor.
Please state your question.
Good representative from Rapid City, is it true that in Judiciary Committee the testimony was that there was only one judge that was unfamiliar, that this is essentially the current state of the law?
Representative Gosch, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Gosch, you have the floor.
Yes, we did have testimony in committee that there were judges known, and I've had it made clear to me today that there were additional judges who had this uncertainty, and this bill would clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tornholt, you still have the floor.
Thank you, and thank you for the answer. In fact, in committee, the testimony was that there was one judge, and there was some question whether there might not be another judge or two that would have questions about the current state of the law. And I appreciate the answer that that's been clarified now that there are a couple of judges that have this question. But ladies and gentlemen of the House, I would submit to you that this particular provision is unnecessary given that it is the current state of the law. I don't think we came here to pass a new law or a provision simply to potentially educate one or two or three judges. In fact, if we're going to have a provision that clarifies the law in this area and that makes a distinct difference for those affected people in the circumstances that where these issues would come up, then we ought to pass a law that deals with it and specifically clarifies and outlines the full context of that. So while this may be well-intended legislation to, again, educate one or two judges, I don't believe it's necessary at this time. And if we really want to address this issue in a larger scope, I think we need to address a bill to that effect. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm going to encourage the body to vote green on 1055. I understand the concerns of the representative from Sioux Falls, but if we have one, two, or three judges that may be confused on this issue, I believe it is worth our time and effort and the enactment of a law to deal with it, because what we're really dealing with here are the interests of a child. And this legislation will help to clarify that as to whether there should be joint custody. And so I clearly urge you to support 1055. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. One thing that the governor's office is trying to do this year is reduce the number of statutes that we have in South Dakota. And the way I understand it, this bill does nothing new. If there's some judges around the state of South Dakota that are having a hard time comprehending their own legalese, then perhaps the American Bar Association should send them a memo clarifying this particular issue. I don't see that we need to have a new law on this matter. Mr. Speaker, members of this body, this bill is a not-so-thinly veiled attempt to undermine the true shared parenting bill that the Honorable Rep from Cuddington County is bringing this session. This bill passed out of this House unanimously last year, so I would ask that you vote down this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Any further remarks? Would any member like to speak before Representative Gosh speaks a second time? Representative Gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I don't have that bill up that we had last year, but I'm certain that did not pass unanimously. And I will say this, if by the acknowledgement of the previous, one of the previous speakers, that there is at least one judge, and now more judges who have some uncertainty in this area, that is worth making this statute clear. And also, one of the previous speakers just tipped his hat as to why he's opposing this bill, one of the speakers from Rapid City. Not that he disagrees with the merits of this bill, but that he thinks it might interfere with a different bill that he would rather see passed. That doesn't make this bill a bad bill. It makes this bill an even better bill because it makes sense. The need for it has been expressed in committee and on the House floor now, and I would urge a green vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration, House Bill 1055. All those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 58 yeas.
House Bill 1055, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1065, an act to repeal the requirement that the unified judicial system set forth a schedule for all fees paid directly to court reporters in its annual consolidated budget.
House Bill 1065, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
That's who I have, who it was assigned to out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 1065 is here to repeal a section of the law that really nobody can understand why it's still here or why it ever got enacted in the first place. And what it does, we have court reporters that are employees of the unified judicial system. These court reporters also are able to do side jobs with private attorneys, private legal situations like depositions and work like that. Because of this law, as in its current state, the fees they get paid privately, not with state funds, have to go through the UJS into the Bureau of Financial Management and become a part of the governor's budget, even though it's not state funds, it's not tax money, it's not anything to do with state fees or anything. And what this does is eliminates that need for something strange like this to happen and go through that kind of a process. Again, as I said, it's unclear why this was implemented in the first place. The UJS visited with BFM about it, and neither entity saw any benefit. That's no benefit whatsoever in having these court reporter fees go through and actually become part of the budget when they really aren't a part of state government. And for that, this bill, when you enact it, will eliminate that extra time that the accounting folks in the UJS have to do and track just to make the report that's required by the statute as is. This bill would repeal that unnecessary practice, and I urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration, House Bill 1065. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Ironcloud, Nelson, and Wink. Representative Nelson. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 66 yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1065, having received majority vote of the members' elects, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title's deemed correct.
House Bill 1095, an act to revise the procedure for the discharge of civil judgments against a person who has received a discharge of debt pursuant to the United States Code, Title 11.
House Bill 1095, having had its second readings up for consideration, final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. 1095 was actually brought to us at the suggestion of the bankruptcy clerk of court and the federal bankruptcy system down in Sioux Falls. What this bill seeks to do is to make it speed up the process, if you would, for the removal of general liens after a debtor has gone through bankruptcy and those liens have, in essence, been discharged in bankruptcy. Many of you may recall that there are different types of liens. Probably the more common lien is a general lien. Someone sues someone, they win, they get a judgment, that becomes a judgment or a general lien. Maybe a hospital bill, and that reduced to a judgment in small claims court, that becomes a general lien. People go through bankruptcy because many times they have many general liens, they can't pay them, they have other bills, etc., they can't pay them, so they go to federal court. And of course, bankruptcy law is a matter of federal law, with the exception of exceptions, that property that you can keep when you go through bankruptcy. Those exceptions in the state of South Dakota are under South Dakota law. But there becomes a problem when there is a discharge and judgment in the bankruptcy court, because many times the final step of taking that discharge judgment and going down to the county courthouse and getting the lien removed doesn't get done. And so what happens is several years later, the debtor has cleaned up their record and has got a better credit report, so they apply for a mortgage and a loan on a house, and the title insurance company does a search of the ownership of the house and finds out that this debtor, now applying for the mortgage, basically has still a number of judgments against him or her down at the county courthouse. So suddenly they have to track down the creditors, they have to get releases from the creditors, and they have to get those releases filed, and then they can go on with the process of purchasing and closing on their house. What this bill does, what 1095 does, is establish a general application for discharge of those liens. And the way it works is the debtor gets a hold of the form, completes the form, sends a copy out to every creditor, in which the creditor is specifically told, you've got 10 days in which to file an objection. And if you don't file within 10 days, those liens can just automatically be removed down at the courthouse. Obviously, because those liens have been discharged in the federal court system, in the bankruptcy, there isn't going to be any objection, but this gives the creditor notice. As a result, the debtor is able to speed up the process of getting the record cleared. He or she is able to save the money of having the sheriff serve notices, etc., on the creditor. This is a piece of legislation which will help speed up the process, which I believe is good for business. I would certainly appreciate your green light on House Bill 1095. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none. Consideration before the House. Final passage of House Bill 1095. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Consett, Hunhoff, and Killer. Representative Hunhoff. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 67 yeas.
House Bill 1095, having received a majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions with the title? Hearing none, title's deemed correct.
House Bill 1096, an act to specify the venue for certain appeals involving home rule municipalities.
House Bill 1096, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the body, this bill can be easily explained by looking at the bottom two lines on the first page. Essentially, all it does is to say that in a situation of where you have home rule municipalities, in that situation, if there is a final administrative hearing decision made within that municipality, that if that matter is taken further up the appeal process to the district court for decision, that the district court which hears that must be in the county where the home rule municipality is located. That's simply what the bill does. I'd appreciate a green light. Stand by for any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration, House Bill 1096. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. Clerk will unlock the voting machine, members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Jensen and Vanner. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 67 yeas.
House Bill 1096, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1112, an act to prohibit any person who fails to file certain campaign finance documents to a candidate for office. Representative Hansen moves that House Bill 1112 be deferred to Monday, January 30th, the 11th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Nelson motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
House Bill 1079, an act to revise certain publication date citations for references to the International Building Code.
House Bill 1079, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Kirkaby.
Mr. Speaker, members of this body, I regretfully have to plead that I'm unable to bring you an exciting, juicy, dynamic bill for your consideration this afternoon. This is every couple of years trying to allow local government entities, if they're going to enact any revisions to their building code, it's permissive legislation changing one word from the year 2009 to the year 2012. It's a simple change and modification. Again, I do apologize, Mr. Speaker, honorable members of this body. That's the best I can do for you today. I'd appreciate your support on House Bill 1079.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none. Question before the House, final consideration, House Bill 1079. All those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Consett. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 62 yeas, 5 nays.
House Bill 1079, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1119, an act to revise certain provisions concerning mechanical pull-tab devices.
House Bill 1119, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a constituent bill, and it's just bringing our statutes it has two purposes, brings our statutes up to 21st century technology. As you see, the coin operated has been lined out, and we put in coin or bill operated, much like the soda and candy machines that we have down in the basement of this building. Technology has allowed us to read bills as well as coins. And we just wanted to make that change so that a pull-tab machine could accept either coins or bills. Now, the reference in this particular piece of legislation has to do with pull-tabs. And for those of you that have been at any of the civic or fraternal organizations, veterans organizations, so on, you probably had exposure to the concept of a pull tab, and it's simply a fundraising tool that these organizations use, much like they would a raffle for a shotgun or a piece of artwork, and it's to help this particular nonprofit organization raise money for their benevolent means. If you would, and I want to refer you to the statute that covers bingo and lotteries, which also is used as a fundraiser for these very same organizations. In the bingo statute, they have provisions for local civic or service club and volunteer fire departments. However, in the pull tab statute, there's no reference to any of those organizations. Now, those organizations are presently allowed to sell pull tabs, but they're not allowed to use a machine to do that. And so what this machine for those organizations would allow them to do is have better accountability for that particular instrument and the cash that it generates. And that's why we asked to have that particular language added into this statute. I know during committee meeting there was some question on you know, define local civic or service club or volunteer, volunteer fire departments, and how do you do that? And really the best place to go to find definitions would be to go to the Internal Revenue Service, which I did in my research. And if you would look under, their chapters 501, we talk about nonprofit organizations, 501c type organizations, and in the language of the Internal Revenue Service, they are very specific on what civic and fraternal type organizations, volunteer fire departments, and so on are made up of and how they can qualify to be as such. And so that's where you would find a definition for this. And the other question that came up was, how do we handle the age restrictions for this type of machine? And the machines themselves, this is an electronic machine, has digitally portrayed on the front of the machine that you must be 18 years of age or older. And that's the default on this programmable language. However, that language can be changed to meet the local requirements, say if you need to be 21 years old to buy these pull tabs. So with that, that is in essence the what we're trying to do with House Bill 1119. I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration of House Bill 1119. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 67 yeas.
House Bill 1119, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1046 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1046, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Turbeville.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Department of the Military Affairs bill that would basically prohibit state courts from making major modification of custody awards while a service member is deployed. House Bill 1046, if you recall, was discussed earlier this week. And there was a question regarding a definition, and so the bill was deferred until today. The question was a legitimate one, and I thank the legislator for bringing it. But it is something we're going to fix in this bill. There is an amendment at your desk that makes this a better bill, and I ask your support for the amendment. I will yield to the prime sponsor of the amendment to allow him to present it and explain his thoughts. Current law allows for the modification of permanent child custody awards based on a finding that there has been a substantial change in circumstances since the original award. The law is silent as to whether the deployment of a service member can be considered as a factor in finding a substantial change in circumstances. Currently, service members who have physical custody of their children before a deployment are vulnerable to modification petitions by non-custodial parents. Obviously, in all cases, the best interest of the child is to be the prime consideration. And if the child is to reside with a non-custodial parent during the employment, that is permissible. But any change of modification must be delayed until after that service member has returned. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will conclude my presentation. Listen carefully to the amendment. It is a friendly amendment, and I would ask that you support House Bill 1046. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Tornell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, Mr. Speaker, I have a motion to amend 1046 JA Justice Alpha.
Has that been distributed?
Has been distributed.
That being moved and seconded, Representative Tornell.
Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen of the House, I appreciate the previous comments from the representative from West River. I think this amendment does help this bill, with the whole idea being that any changes that may be considered should not be considered until after the deployment has ended and after the individual, whether he or she has returned to their home. This amendment, I suggest, would do that. I've talked to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. They concur in this amendment. I made one additional tweak to it. I have contacted the department about that, have not heard back, but really it is still the same substance of the amendment. And talking to the representative that made the earlier comments, he was fine with that amendment as well. So I would appreciate your supporting the amendment. Go on to pass the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Tornell motion to amend? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Any further comments on House Bill 1046 as amended? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration, House Bill 1046. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Second. Mr. Speaker, personal privilege.
Granted, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, it is my honor to introduce to you the owner and manager of the Madison Dairy Queen, Mr. DeLon Mort.
Welcome. Representative Steele, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Somebody that may want to know a little more additional information on colon cancer, which I'm getting familiar with. KSFY, tonight, 10 o'clock news. Nancy Nave has a minute, a medical minute that'll be on. And yours truly will be on there. They've got me on a slab giving a radiation treatment. Not too many clothes on, but I am modestly covered. And if anybody's interested in getting a little more information about colon cancer, the medical minute will be on tonight at KSFY Channel 10, if you care to watch. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Please watch that if you can.
Mr. Speaker, personal privilege.
Representative Strickers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members of the House, I'd like to introduce to you the president of United Urban Warrior Society, who has come here from Rapid City, South Dakota. Ladies and gentlemen, James Swan.
Mr. Speaker, personal privilege.
Representative Ironcloud.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to also introduce you to a good friend of mine and fellow tribal member, Lucille Bulbear, who's standing up here, and I'm glad she's here to see what's going on. Thank you very much. Ms. Lucille Bulbear is from Kyle, South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 67 yeas.
House Bill 1046, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct. Messages. Representative Carson.
Thank you. Appropriations, 8:25 Monday morning, we're going to be hearing from Ag and Health.
You get to sleep in, not till 8:25?
Mr. Speaker, we'll have a briefing at 6:45.
Very good. Just checking. Further announcements? Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education, bright and early Monday morning, 7:45.
Very good. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Commerce and Energy, 10 a.m. Monday.
Thank you. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee, 10 o'clock on Monday. We have a full calendar. Thank you.
Very good. Busy in Judiciary. Further announcements? I want to thank you for staying here, getting through our calendar. We are on pace. I think we should be doing well. I think our bill count is up to 275, was it? 1275, something like that. So that's the last of the bill drops, unless the committee has one that they get in by noon on Monday. So we've got a lot of work to do. So I appreciate, again, your effort staying here, and have a good weekend. With that, Representative Turbeville.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.